In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this Sunday of All Saints, and this is the first Sunday after the Feast of Pentecost. And this particular feast has been around for a long time. In the ancient times, there were so many martyrs of the Christian faith that it was impossible to record all of their names and all the circumstances of their martyrdom. And so, even as early as the 4th century, in the time of St. John Chrysostom, there was mention of this feast day in which it was set aside to honor all of the saints, you know, even if we didn't know their names, because their names are known in heaven. And as it says in the Synaxarion, All Saints Day has always been observed not only as an opportunity for the Church to present to her living membership Christian ideals to be emulated, but also as an opportunity to establish unity between the triumphant Church of Christ in heaven and the militant one here on earth. So we have this connection through the saints. You know, there are our heavenly intercessors in heaven. When we think about the saints, usually we think about, amazing, wonder-working, miraculous things. You know, it's we look on the walls of our church here, and we have many very famous saints, you know, St. John the Baptist, and then the apostles, and themselves, and, you know, St. Anthony the Great, and St. Nicholas, and all these amazing saints. And we probably think to ourselves, well, you know, I'm not really quite going to be able to imitate those great saints to that extent. But there's a passage from a book by an Orthodox writer that says, saintliness is not an abnormal or exceptional state. On the contrary, it is the normal flowering of every Christian life. The call to holiness is addressed to each one of us. Well, so in other words, God is not necessarily calling each of us to walk on water and to raise the dead and all those things. But he is calling us, you know, to come to church and receive communion. He is calling us to do good deeds and to be kind to one another and to try and be witnesses for Christ in that way, just in the simple, everyday, small things. And at our baptism, we become part of the mystical body of Christ on earth. And this means that we also become part of the living family and community of the saints. You know, for example, when two people enter into marriage, they also share in one another's families. You know, there's the old saying, you're also marrying that person's family, you know. Or you choose your friends, but not your family, you know. And of course, once you're married, then now you've got fathers and mothers-in-laws and brothers and sisters-in-laws. And of course, we honor and respect all of these relatives as part of our family. Well, in baptism, our souls are married to Christ in a mystical union, as it were. So naturally, we are now joined to Christ's family in the same way. St. John of Kronstadt once wrote, acknowledge that all the saints are our elder brothers in the one house of the Heavenly Father who have departed from earth to heaven. And they are always with us in God, and they constantly teach us and guide us to eternal life by means of the church services, the mysteries and sacraments, instructions, and church decrees which they have composed. As, for example, those concerning the fasts and the feasts. They serve together with us. They sing, they speak, they instruct. They help us in various temptations and sorrows, and call upon them as living with you under a single roof. Glorify them, thank them, converse with them as with living people, and you will believe in the church. Well, today's gospel is a selection of some different passages from the Gospel of Matthew, and it gives us three ways that we can fulfill this, that we can imitate the life of those saints. The first thing that we read in the gospel is that we're called to confess Christ. As the Lord says, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And also by the same token, whoever will deny me before men, Christ says he will deny us before his Father in heaven. Well, St. Ignatius Brianchaninov says that the Lord's disciples are not only those who call themselves Christians. His disciples are those who truly confess him as their Lord, following his teachings, fulfilling his commandments. And this confession must be made with mind, heart, word, deed, and their entire lives. Confession requires self-denial. Confession with words is not enough. It is necessary to confess with deeds and by life. When a person confesses God in a way that is pleasing to him, it is a sign that God has chosen that person. The fruit of a good will is inclusion amongst the ranks of the chosen. So in order for us to be part of the chosen, we have to choose to confess Christ. The second thing in today's gospel that gives us a way that we can fulfill these things is that we must love and honor Christ above all, even above our own earthly family members. When the Lord tells us that a man's foes shall be they of his own household, and also he that loves father, mother, son, or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, he's referring to, for instance, when we have members of our biological or, you know, legal family members who might stand in opposition to our Christian practice. You know, and this is very common. We live in a time, brothers and sisters, today where it's not that different than the early Christians from an Orthodox Christian point of view. Because what happened when people were, they were pagan or they were Jewish or something, but there were no Christians before Christ came. So some people became Christians, but their spouses or their family members did not always join them and follow them in that, okay? And so, you know, as St. Paul says, well then, you know, these families that are Christian and non-Christian try to be at peace with one another, you know, because that's the best we can do, and then hopefully it'll all sort itself out. Well, in a way, many of us find ourselves in a similar situation. We may have extended family members who are not Orthodox Christians, and you know, it's a pretty common thing. We all get together for family events, and here, try the pot roast, but it's a fast day, you know, so what do we do? You know, I mean, there's tension there. But we have to struggle with this, and it's important to bear this gospel passage in mind, that he that loves father or mother or family members more than me is not worthy of me. You know, in other words, if we're doing things for the sake of Christ, then we can't go wrong. You know, then it'll all sort itself out, and it'll be a blessing to us and to our family members. The third way that our Lord instructs us to follow him is when he says, "He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Well, our holy fathers have taught us that our cross represents all the struggles and challenges that we must endure. St. Simeon the New Theologian once said that in times past, when heresies prevailed, many chose death through martyrdom and various tortures. Now, when we, through the grace of Christ, live in a time of profound and perfect peace, we learn for sure that the cross and death consist in nothing else than the complete mortification of self-will. He who pursues his own will, however slightly, will never be able to observe the precepts of Christ the Savior. So this idea of taking up our cross really refers to the sacrifices that we make in order to be Christians. When the church directs us to fast, like, as you know, beginning tomorrow will be the Apostles' Fast. So we're going to stop eating burgers and cheese and everything for some weeks. And just by doing that, that's a little way that we can take up our cross. Or when we're tempted and we say, no, I'm not going to fall into that temptation. We've been victorious through the cross and so forth. Well, all of God's saints shared these three things in common. They confessed Christ, they loved him above all, even more than their own family members, and they took up their cross and followed him. Now the saints have received their reward and are in heaven, and they stand ready to help us at all times. You know, we ask, this is something that is not well understood in the non-Orthodox world, because they think we worship saints or something or whatever. But yet we all ask one another to pray for us. If someone's sick or someone has some need, we say, brothers and sisters, will you please pray for so-and-so or pray for me? You know, I need God's help with this. Well, of course, we ask one another, so why wouldn't we ask our brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, as it were, in the kingdom of heaven for their assistance? We have only to ask their help, and they will quickly hear our prayers and come to our aid. Having struggled with the same things that we struggle with as Christians, they understand exactly what we're up against, and they know just the right way to help us. So let us invest the time to learn more about the lives of saints, that we may learn to imitate their righteous lives. We have many collections of writings of the lives of the saints in our library. I mean, I was remembering one time, my wife and I used to run a small Orthodox bookstore, and one time a guy came in He said, do you have any books on the lives of the saints? And I said, well, you know, well, we have these collections of the lives of the saints, a few other things. And as I began to look around, I realized that more than half the books in the whole thing were about the saints, basically, because that's really our Orthodox life. They're the ones who really demonstrated and manifested the Orthodox Christian way of life. And so if you start looking out there at the library, you'll find that most of the books have something to do with the lives of the saints. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants all of us to be saved and be united in one triumphant family with all the saints in heaven as we depart this life. Glory be to our God. Holy saints, pray for us.